In a shopping cart in Best Buy, you could put the disk drives that would hold all of the words in the Library of Congress.
There's going to be tremendous amounts of value in data. Tremendous amounts of data is going to make sociological studies, all kinds of things possible.
This is Future Lab, the online radio series from Intel Labs. I'm Jason Lopez. So much data. All those tweets and blogs and comments, what to do with it all? Instead of hitting a giant delete button, scientists are developing technologies to analyze even the most mundane things on the web. Before the explosion of the internet, if you used a computer, chances are you were just an end user. But now you're a creator, and there's valuable information to help understand ourselves in all that data being created every day, from search terms to entire websites. Michael Johnson explored the issue and tells this story.
All of you out there who tweet, you will now be going down in history. The Library of Congress, get this, is going to start archiving everything that ends up on the social website Twitter. Those are those little quick blurbs, can't be longer than 140 characters. 55 million tweets are sent out every single day. Are
they really? I was not surprised at all when the Library of Congress acquired the tweets database.
Jim Held, Intel Fellow and researcher at Intel Labs in Oregon.
Because that is an example of massive amount of data that will provide a wealth of information to someone who comes back later to analyze what people cared to communicate about, how they communicated, or what language was like, how we spoke, how we formed our sentences, what our vocabulary was. There's going to be tremendous amounts of value in data. Tremendous amounts of data is going to make sociological studies, epidemiological studies, all kinds of things possible. So the benefit of accumulating, storing it, and then having the ability to move and process it effectively is going to continue to build. We have people doing research on the algorithms to do some of the sophisticated analysis of everything from imaging data to financial data. People who are looking at how to make the computer better at storing and retrieving the data. We're looking at technology to move the data around. And so we're looking at all the different ways that we can take that wealth of data that's being created as we sit here and make use of it.
Held works in the field of terascale computing, incredibly fast computations, the kind of computing that he says will be needed in the not-too-distant future.
Learning how to effectively use parallel hardware in all of its forms is probably one of the largest challenges we face. As we increase the processing power without taking more energy from your battery or generating more heat in the data center, it means programmers have to learn how to do things with more cores, with more workers, as it were. And that means coordinating among the workers, dividing the work among them, and then making sure they don't interfere with each other, as well as communicating back and forth among those cores or those workers. One person can very simply work through a task. Dividing it among many gets more and more complex the more you try to divide it. Imagine taking a 400-page book and trying to use 400 writers to create it. Well, that's probably diminishing returns.
So we can acquire the sheer computing power that wasn't possible just a few short years ago. And using that resource, in conjunction with the wealth of data that exists, has yielded answers to some long-running computing conundrums.
Machine translation was seen as almost unachievable goal not too long ago. And people were trying to do it with very intricately written programs, sometimes with very elaborate logic that was written out to anticipate all the possible interpretations of words. That was extremely difficult to do and increasingly effective, but moving at a slow pace. Well, not too long ago, there was a breakthrough in using masses of data, masses of information on the internet by Google to do translation by what we would have considered brute force. The tremendous amount of information in the literature where you have multiple copies of works in different languages can be analyzed statistically and used to do translation. And with a large enough sample, you can get enough statistical data and enough statistical understanding to do a very, very good job that only requires a little bit of additional logic in order to achieve machine translation at very good levels.
Held says there's many possibilities given the sheer amount of information available, the same information that surrounds us every day. It's a case of utilizing and perceiving existing data in different ways.
Well, we're digitizing books and microfilm. So these scanners where people are turning pages and using professional-grade digital cameras to take photographs of pages. And then those are uploaded and processed and compressed and put into RED so that they can be searchable and put on the internet for as many people as were allowed to under laws and customs.
That's Brewster Kahle, digital librarian and founder of the Internet Archive, a free online digital library of websites, moving images, audio, and written materials based in San Francisco. Since 1996, the Archive has been taking snapshots of the web and manages one of the world's largest book digitization projects, uploading up to 1,000 books a day.
We're in a new data center of the Internet Archive where we store books, music, and video on spinning hard drives so that they can be accessed by anybody anywhere in the world. So this is where the primary data, and then we have backup centers in other locations to make sure that the data is reliably held. So an earthquake or political fault or organization failure won't mean that we'll lose parts of our history.
The Internet Archive currently holds about 5 petabytes of information. That's 5 million gigabytes. And the archive is mirrored at the site of the Bibliotheca Alexandria in Egypt. Kahle says that advances in computing and the ready availability of storage has facilitated the archiving of large collections of data, and is bringing about the realization of the archive's philosophy.
If you just take all the words in the Library of Congress, how much is it? So there's about 26 million books, and a book is about a megabyte. So 26 million megabytes goes mega, giving a tera. It's 26 terabytes. So 13 of these little hard drives that you can now buy for about $100 each. So in a shopping cart in Best Buy, you could put the disk drives that would hold all of the words in the Library of Congress. That kind of thing, it means that we can do something very, very different. So the idea of having, so that even if you're in Uganda or Ohio or in San Francisco, if you want to learn something esoteric, then you should be able to have access to it. And that's possibly a fulfillment of the Enlightenment ideal. And it's pretty fun to see it start to come about.
As the power of computing increases along with the growth of data, scientists are increasingly appreciative of the human element in the computer equation. Michael Franklin is a professor of computer science at UC Berkeley, and he's part of a new research lab called AMP, which stands for Algorithms, Machines, and People.
A big part of what we want to do in the AMP lab is to figure out how to build kind of hybrid systems that leverage the vast power of cloud computing to do, you know, the number crunching and the algorithmic stuff that computers are good at, and then bring in people to sort of solve those problems that people are uniquely capable of doing. And really the challenge from a research point of view is how do you build a system that blends the capabilities of those very different types of resources in the most productive way.
Franklin says that the seemingly simple interactions of people and computing is not to be underestimated. Even the basic act of searching for symptoms of an illness can become something quite powerful. He cites a recent example called Google Flu Trends.
What they were able to do is by watching what people were searching for in various locations, they were able to detect outbreaks of flu symptoms weeks ahead of time compared to the traditional ways of doing it. So if you detect that in a particular part of the world, people are starting to submit queries about various flu symptoms or various flu remedies, and you see a trend there, you can all of a sudden surmise pretty accurately that the flu is starting to break out in that area. And so that's an example of harnessing of the wisdom of crowds, maybe, or sort of the collective intelligence, where just by people going about their normal activities and doing what they want to do, if you can look at that activity and make sense of it, you can learn things about what's trending in the world and learn it almost in real time. And that's really a new opportunity.
Franklin's research looks to form a bridge between data, computers, and people, utilizing the best of each.
How do we leverage the computational resources that we have in cloud computing to do a lot of the early sifting, the heavy lifting, the sort of the winnowing down, and then treating the human resources as being extremely valuable, make sure that the things we ask people to do are really just those things that the people are so much better at than the computer. And so I think there's a huge opportunity to design new software infrastructures and architectures to build these kinds of hybrid systems. And that's one of the things we're looking at in this new lab here.
Once again, Intel's Jim Held.
For many years, very high performance was seen as something used by scientists with a big computer in a room, a supercomputer mentality. And so I think a lot of our work has been driven by the vision of people using computers to interact with each other and to work with data and basically as a personal tool. So I think it is about people.
For Future Lab, this is Michael Johnson.
That's our show for this week. Future Lab is the online radio show from Intel Labs. If you want to keep feeling the fascination about the wealth of data in the world, and this certainly will guarantee it, you can visit the Internet Archive, which is at archive.org. Intel Labs is at intel.com/research. And you can find other Future Lab shows on iTunes and at connectedsocialmedia.com.